Hello! This is Ethnically Ambiguous with Anna.
And Shireen, and this is episode 31, everybody!
And we have a great guest today.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a longer episode, but it's worth it.
Yeah.
The whole thing is brilliant. Here's our guest. Want to introduce yourself really quick?
Hey, I'm Ala Khaled.
Yeah. Ooh. So stay tuned, we're going to talk all about his family and his upbringing as a Palestinian American. It's great.
Who are we? Where did we come from? Who do we become? What is it to be? What to be is it? Where are we? Who are my parents? Where are my pets? Why were we born? We are Ethnically Ambiguous.
Hey!
Hey!
Hey, we're back! Episode 31.
31!
We're so old.
Mm, 31. I'm young,
so. Okay, well, the podcast, I mean, is the 31's a big number for me. But
this is a big episode for us because we have a very special guest.
Very special. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Oh, sure.
We just don't
you're talking about me?
Yeah, you!
Oh, okay. Hi, I'm Ala Khaled.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah.
This is my first time meeting you. I believe Anna's met you before.
No.
No? We've only texted.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, well.
We have a strong text relationship.
Exactly.
You might know Ala from the Worst Ever podcast with Christine Lakin.
Christine Lakin,
that's right. Formerly of Step by Step.
Step by Step fame.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which, and she's on a new show called Hollywood Darlings on Pop.
With Jodie Sweetin and Beverly Mitchell.
Correct.
Yes. I know all my 90s stars. What can I say? Yeah, so I met you through Arden Marine, who, if you listen to this and listen to my bachelor life, I produce a podcast for her called Will You Accept This Rose? And Arden, after recording, was like, you have to meet Ala. You have to meet him. And I'm like, okay, connect us. And she's like, he's perfect for your podcast. Which, that is a spot on Arden.
The best about Arden is I have been pronouncing her last name wrong since I've met her. I
mean,
say Myron.
Yeah.
And then she came on our podcast and corrected me. And I finally just told her, you should just change your name because it's not happening.
I mean, that's what we have to do. That's what brown people do all the time. They change their name to make it easier. My dad's Sam.
My dad's been Mike Mohammed. I'm not even kidding.
Yeah, I believe it.
My mom is – first of all, my dad's name is Afif. Mm-hmm. And my mom's name is Afaf.
Wow.
So it's Afif and Afaf.
A match made in heaven.
My dad goes by Mike or Mohammed.
Very different, depending on the crowd.
Right. And then my mom goes by Fifi.
Oh, that's cute.
I know Fifi, yeah. My mom's name is Ruhaif.
Oh,
so
okay.
Some of her family calls her Fifi, but Americans call her Rory.
Oh, that's...
Yeah,
so,
strong
yeah.
name.
My mom's Shahbanu and goes by Bobby.
Yeah. With an I. With an I. Mm-hmm. Classy. I
Bobby
like
with an I, yeah. Yeah. She got hip to it quick. She's
well, like, my dad would change his name for IRS reasons and
You
know. I like that he goes by Muhammad because that's like the like Americanized version of the Middle Eastern name. Yeah.
Well, each one of me, my brother, and my sister have the middle name Muhammad.
Oh,
yeah.
Our middle name is the same. It's actually it's three middle names. So it's I'm Ala Muhammad Afif Yusuf Khaled.
Oh, Yusuf.
Nice.
And then my brother's Khaled Muhammad Afif Yusuf Khaled, and my sister's Lubna Muhammad Afif Yusuf.
Wow.
Yusuf. Wow.
Yusuf's my grandfather. Mohammed is my dad's oldest brother who raised all the brothers because my grandfather died when my dad was like 13.
Mm-hmm.
And
Afif. Naming after grandfathers is a really Arab or like Middle Eastern thing to do, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, my brother's Reza off my grandpa Reza. Mm-hmm. And I'm not named after anyone.
Shahs of Sunset Reza?
Yes, that's my brother. No. I'm actually fascinated by Shahs of Sunset Reza.
I'm obsessed.
Because he really normalized, like, being out and gay and, like, just being, like, for it and just being like, oh, every Middle Eastern parent disapproves.
And being half Muslim, half Jewish.
Yes.
Which I was
which
like,
is wild.
That's
Whoa.
Crazy.
That's not a thing in Iranian culture.
He needs to be the symbol of, like, Palestinian-Israeli peace right there.
Right.
Just like, I exist. You can too.
Yeah. He exists in one body.
Wow.
Wild. Yeah.
Well, let's get back to you.
Okay, go ahead.
Tell our listeners a little bit about you for those who are unfamiliar with you and your podcast.
Like my whole life story?
Well, like, yes, eventually I would like to hear your whole life story, but let's get into it a little bit. So your parents are immigrants from Palestine.
Right. So right? Both Palestinian.
Yeah.
My parents were recently just – they were here like last week.
Nice.
And I just found out that my grandmother on my mother's side was born in Spain.
Oh.
And I knew my great-grandmother was Cuban.
Huh.
So I have an eighth Cuban in me, but
– I can see it.
But they
– It's a tan.
Yeah. But my great-grandfather brought my grandmother from Cuba back to Palestine and raised – Whoa. My grandmother, and then my grandfather was raised in Palestine.
Do you know how they met?
I don't. I think he fled.
Oh, okay.
And fled to Cuba, and then met her, and then during one of the wars.
Then brought
her back.
That's wild.
Yeah.
That's a kind of a cool way. You flee to one place. That's kind of like tumultuous, and you like flee back to this other place. Romance.
Yeah.
And
my mom's side of the family is very. Educated and affluent, mm-hmm. where my dad's side of the family is like from a small village, dirt roads, had no money, no education.
Well, how did they meet your parents?
So, this is as one knows in the Middle Eastern culture, it's not there's no dating.
Oh no!
Right? So it's sort of like your setup. So my my mother lived in a small town called El Bira, which is right outside of Ramallah. Okay. It's part of the city of Ramallah. And my dad came from a village called Mizrah Sharkiya, which is like 10 minutes away. And he was at the age to get married. So he and my uncle had heard that there were women available from my mom's side of the family, the Qasim. Mm-hmm. My mom's maiden name is Qasim, from the Qasim side. And so he went to talk to my grandfather and said, you know, we'd like to meet your daughters. That's and so he so set classic. Up like a mm-hmm. tea this session.
Classic Arab. Like,
knocked on the door, came in. All the guys would sit together. Yeah. My mom served my father a nice mint and sage tea. And after she walked away, he told my grandfather, I want that one.
Wow.
And So my grandfather said, okay, let me talk to her. My father left, and then he asked my mother, what did you think of Afif? She goes, he was nice.
But that's the only way a woman could actually leave her parents' house to get married. Right. So for my mom in particular, and like I know a lot of women that get married just because they want to leave.
Right.
And my mom got engaged several times before marrying my dad, and it was because she wanted permission to do her own thing.
Right.
So it's kind of crazy, like just how
she was working the system.
Yeah.
But is your father Syrian?
He's from Damascus. My mom is from Hama, which is like.
And so, but they're married still, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it's like the divorce rate's very low in their culture.
Because they work it out. Like, they're just like, well, we're together now. Yeah. Let's just figure it out.
And they usually get married young.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they sort of like grow up together, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. That's still like, when I visit Iran, like, my cousins are like, I'm going to go meet this guy mm-hmm. and, you know, maybe I'll marry him.
Chill.
I mean, in my family, my cousins still do that.
Yeah.
Like,
no, same here. Yeah.
I talked to my cousin Yasmin. She's.
I have a cousin Yasmin as well.
We all have a cousin.
We all
have a Saeed, a Yasmin. So an Abdullah.
Khalid.
Yeah.
There are like a
couple Khalids. Khalid's a bit. Alat, my name is very. Alat in the Middle East is like Bob or John.
You're the first Alat I've met.
So Alat is it's a girl's name and a boy's name, depending on the spelling.
I have a girl cousin named Alat.
Yeah.
Which I just put that together. It's the same name as, which was an Arabic accent. And I just said it for the first time.
So Alat is short for Alauddin, Aladdin, right? And so that's where originally my parents were going to name me, and thank God for my aunt Wajiha. She stopped them, but my parents were going to name me Udly.
Oh no,
Udly! No,
that would God. Be.
Oh, so, I would have died.
Yeah. You would have been bullied relentlessly.
Yeah, Udly. And so she was like, you can't name him that. You know.
Yeah.
And so they changed it in the hospital, but that's how Alat came. Otherwise,
my name was changed in the hospital, too. Yeah. But I was going to be named Sally, which is, like, not as bad as Udly at all. But, like.
Is Sally Middle Eastern?
No. So my mom is kind of, like, a closet nerd. But, like, my older sister is Raimi, and she named her after this, like, cartoon that was dubbed in Arabic. Like, this boy that was, like, finding his mother. And there was a Cinderella cartoon that was about this girl, Sally. And so I was going to be named Sally after the other cartoon she liked. And then she gave birth in Anaheim, and this older, like, white lady was the nurse, and she, like, gave me to my mom. She was like, oh, what's this baby's name? My mom was like, Sally. And the woman was like, my name is Sally. It's old and white. Change it right now. My mom was like, okay. And she changed it.
Well, Shireen is very...
Yeah. It's a very common Persian name. So every Persian I meet thinks I'm Persian. Yeah. But I mean, I've grown to be okay with it.
I know a Palestinian girl named Shireen. Yeah. Yeah.
I was at a wedding in Colorado last year, and I was the only non-white person there, and someone thought my name was Korean.
What? Shireen?
It's a mixed bag. It's a mixed bag.
Well, growing up, I used to get Allah.
Yeah.
Everyone would call me Allah.
Like God.
Or Allah. You know, I'm like, no, it's Allah and not Allah. And that's not Allah. It's Allah.
Yeah.
So I
could see people just see Allah and then think God. And then be like, yeah, well, that's his name.
Well,
because
Arden,
that's a Persian.
When she texted, I think with our group text.
Oh, yeah. She wrote.
She wrote God instead of, you know, and
she
I was like, it's
A-L-A-A.
Okay. Yeah.
Meet your God.
Hello, God.
Meet your maker.
Yeah. Well, so, so you're an actor. So
yes.
You have a different name when you act.
So, yeah. That's so right. That story is very funny because I sort of came up with it based on my original name. Mm-hmm. Out of convenience, and it was way before 9/11, so it had nothing to do with. I didn't feel like it was nothing to do with terrorism, or I was changing it not to be Arabic.
Yeah.
In fact, I was really nervous about changing it because I knew my dad would not understand and freak out. And
it's like, are you proud of us? And like,
In fact, my brother was more pissed than anyone. my agents were like, "We're submitting you. We think you're great." When they see your name, they want to pigeonhole you in like, you know, certain roles. And we think you can play everything, you know.
Because you're ethnically ambiguous.
I'm ethnically ambiguous.
Yeah. And you want your name to reflect that.
Exactly. And I'm light-skinned it.
Yeah.
And
same.
And, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
So no one really knows what I'm from, right? So, so I was like, okay, whatever. And I was about to go on a trip to Hawaii, and I had an audition the next day for a show, Zoe, Jack, Duncan, and Jane. It was on the WB or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it was like,
remember when the CW was WB.
Yeah, it was a WB. Mm-hmm. And it was one of their first multi-camera shows. And she's like, because on my headshots, I didn't have my name, but on my resume, I did. Mm-hmm. So like, well, let's just change it for this next audition, see what happens. And I said, okay. So they're like, well, what do you want your name to be? And I was like, I don't know. Alec Led. Make it Alec Led. But I want it to be different. So put two D's at the end. They're like, what? And I go, just do it. So I got submitted as Alec Led for the first time, and I booked the job.
Wow.
Yeah.
So now I'm like freaking out because I'm living with this name because I have to go to SAG.
You have to commit to it.
I have to commit. I go to SAG and I have to change it to get paid and everything because, you know, that's what it ended up being.
Have you grown to like it, or are you like?
Well, I have two different Alec Led is like from 10 to 6, and then after that it's a lot. But, and I have two sets of friends that only know me as Alec, and then my friends before Alec. And really, really close friends that call me a lot.
Yeah.
So sometimes I don't know who I am or where I am, depending on where I'm at. You know?
Yeah. Well.
So let's go back.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go back in time. Mm-hmm. So your parents meet.
Mm-hmm.
They get married.
They get married.
They decide we're going to have kids.
They decide to go on a honeymoon to Peru.
Okay.
Because they had friends there, so they knew they could – they had no money. So they knew they could stay for free. Mm-hmm. And they ended up liking it and getting pregnant – and living there and getting pregnant and lived there for about a year and had me.
Are you? Okay. So you're the oldest?
I'm the oldest. Mm-hmm. So 15 days after I was born, moved to the United States. Because in our culture – my dad comes from six brothers, and the oldest brother would make enough money to go to the United States. They'd all work together, make enough money to go to the United States. He'd go work in the United States doing whatever, selling jeans out of a station wagon, you know, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And then he'd make enough money to bring the next brother, and then they would work together, and then they'd bring the next brother, and it was my dad's turn.
Yeah.
So when it was his turn, I was 15 days old and came to the United States and became a naturalized citizen.
Where in the U.S. do your parents go first?
They went to Merritt Island, Florida first.
Okay.
Yeah. And then we ended up in New Orleans, mm-hmm. where my brother was born.
Okay. And how much younger is he than you?
3 years.
3 years? Okay.
Yeah.
So you guys must have grown up pretty close.
We were really close growing up.
Yeah.
We're not so close now, but we were inseparable, like wore the same clothes, like matching outfits, the whole bit.
I think when you're young in Middle Eastern, your parents just like, they're immigrants and they're like, you all dress the same because it's easier for us at this point. We get this.
And our parents, their goal wasn't to live in the United States for the rest of our lives. Their goal was to make enough money to build a beautiful home in Palestine.
And they were always planning to go back.
That's how my parents actually met and married in America. But my dad's whole plan was come to America, get a college degree, go back to Iran. And then the revolution happened. And he was like, okay, I live in America now. Like, that's
My dad was like, the American dollar is too much fun, and I'm making money, and things are, I'm not leaving.
That's really funny. Yeah. My parents had the same experience. Like, they built a house in Syria. They actually went there, and then they realized it was still corrupt, and they were like, we're bouncing again. Like, they went, like, they took it one step too far and actually went and then came back.
But, have you gone to Syria?
Yeah. I haven't been back since, like, 2011, I think, but I used to go every summer, every other summer.
Yeah. So the first time me, Khaled, and my sister Lubna went, I was 13. And my dad and my mom sent us with my mom because her sister, her youngest sister, was getting married in we call it the Blad.
Yeah,
right?
the Blad. Yeah, the Blad. Right?
Yeah.
So she was getting married in the Blad.
Like the country.
The country, right. Yeah. So we were supposed to be there for a month. And my parents were building a house where my dad grew up in Mizra Sharkia. Mm-hmm. And so at that time, it was the 80s, and there was literally – there wasn't a McDonald's. There was nothing Americanized. It was like really, really culture shock. Yeah. It was the old country. It was culture shock for us. And Khaled and I were – my sister was three. Khaled and I were freaking out. Like we just couldn't adjust.
Right.
And then like –
were you guys raised with Arabic? Like were your parents speaking to you in Arabic at all?
So I spoke fluent Arabic up until I went to kindergarten. And then my teacher in kindergarten called me a gypsy.
Oof.
Because I wasn't speaking. Right. This was in New Orleans, actually. Yeah.
The South.
it was the South. She called me. So I completely stopped speaking Arabic and would only answer back to my parents in English. Mm-hmm. I understand it fluently and I speak it brokenly.
Yeah.
But.
No, when you're called out on that accent, like me and my older sister had an accent growing up, and we were really self-conscious about it. And. Like, even watching videos of us, like, when we were younger, I don't even understand how it was that strong. And we were just, like, laughing or whatever. And, like, I don't know. But so it really gets to you when you're growing up and you're like, oh, I sound like an alien compared to someone else.
Yeah. And I, you know, I mean, first of all, you're in kindergarten. So you're just trying to, like, adjust to, like, a new life. Yeah, be a kid and, like... Like, it's strange for having your parents, like, drop you off at some school and not see them for hours, you know? And so that's enough as it is. And then to be called out on something you have no control over. And so.
But anyway, sorry, I interrupted you. No. So you were in Palestine with.
So we went on 13, so we were freaking out. And then so, you know, when you get married as a female, you have to get married as a virgin, right? Yeah. So my aunt,
or so they say.
Well, yeah. Right.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
But back in that day, most of them were virgins, right? Yeah. So my aunt, this is going to sound horrible, but I'm just going to go for it.
Go for it. I'm excited.
So the week of her wedding, she was going to get her period.
Oh, no.
And you can't get married when the girl's on the period.
Right.
So this is really personal. My mom is going to kill me. So they extended it for another month and a half. So we were stuck there.
Oh, my God.
But Khaled and I didn't understand. So we literally thought that they were tricking us because all our lives they said, we're going to end up moving back to the Blad.
Oh,
we're
my God.
And we're building a house. Yeah. And, like, everything just started making sense. I started going, can we curse on this?
Yeah, of course.
I'm like, they're fucking – they tricked us. We're moving here. We're moving here.
I can imagine being like a preteen and being convinced of that reality and just being so enraged.
Oh, I was like dying. And it got to the point where my mom was like, I don't know what, because we were going, like, we would start fires in like the streets.
Oh my God.
We were being chased by the Israeli armies. We were throwing eggs at them. And like, we were doing anything we could do to get the fuck out, you know? So we were like, well, let's,
by any means.
Yeah, let's get kicked out. Like, we were, I mean, we did crazy, crazy stuff. We're like, they can't do anything to us. We're American citizens. We have American passports. But it's a volatile country. Oh, it's crazy.
Yeah.
There was one point where Cal and I like begged. We were like, please take us to the Jerusalem Hilton. We need something please take us to the Jerusalem Hilton. We'll spend a week in the Jerusalem. Then my mom put us in the YMCA camp.
Oh, that's good. Okay.
Spent like 3 weeks in the YMCA camp. We're the only Arab kids that really didn't speak that much Arabic. Mm. So we, at the end of the camp, they would give awards out, and we got the quietest kids award because we're silent the whole
time.
So
well-behaved.
Yeah, we're like, I mean, we had tabla classes and weird. God, yeah, it was like weird, you know, that's whatever. Funny. And then for a treat, because there was like no McDonald's or anything, and we were like fast food kids, there was a place in downtown Jerusalem, I'll never forget, called McDavid's, and it was the Jewish kosher version of McDonald's.
Right.
But now it's like totally different. I've been back since, and it's like
McDavid's.
They have like fancy McDonald's.
Oh yeah, they have everything that's like beautiful there. Yeah.
Well, when's the last time you were back in Palestine?
I was back. I haven't been back to Palestine in 8 years now. Mm. But I went to Jordan and Palestine that same trip. And, and I mean, it's rough to travel.
Oh, yeah. That's why. I mean, it breaks my heart that I haven't been there to Syria or any of those countries in so long. But
well, and customs.
You
because,
don't want to. Yeah.
Well, and because my mom was born there, they always would try to get me to get a Palestinian passport, which limits you from going in and out of the country. Mm. It's hard to travel when you have the last name of Khaled, you know?
Yeah.
It's just not easy.
Yeah. So it's like Hosni, too many H's and S's. All they see is Saddam Hussein.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Right.
What?
Like going from the border from Amman to the Palestinian or Israeli border, it's literally like 30-minute drive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I could be sitting there for 13 hours through customs trying to get through.
It's absurd. It's really,
yeah.
So you obviously didn't stay you didn't stay in Palestine.
Yeah. No. And at that time, we were living in Greensboro, North Carolina. So I'll never forget landing in Greensboro, and the first thing I did was kiss the ground. And I was like, I'm never going back there ever again.
Yeah.
My mom bought us a little bunny rabbit while we were there in Palestine, and my grandmother cooked it. Yeah, like
that's
it was
so
like, you know, but
sad.
She's old school. Yeah. She didn't know. She thought we were bringing, you know,
food,
so yeah.
Yeah.
That's
it
the
was
most
like, it was crazy.
Thing.
Yeah.
Immigrant grandma.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah. Siti.
Like, what? Yeah, Siti. Yeah.
That's wonderful. That's dark, but that's really funny.
Yeah, it is really, really funny. When did you know that you liked acting? Like, because I feel like you don't, there isn't anyone, at least for me, that I would look at and be like, I can do this because there's someone that looks like me that does this kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I didn't look at it from that way. When I started acting, we were living in Florida, in Orlando. And I went to high school there at a school called Dr. Phillips High School with like Wayne Brady was in my class and Joey Fatone. And
like a performance arts school.
Well, it turned into a performing arts school, but we opened the school and just had we had a wonderful theater director by the name of Karen Ruggiero, who she taught Wesley Snipes and, you know, just her track record was great. It's now a performing arts school. It wasn't when we were there.
Okay.
So
you guys kind of opened the doors.
We opened the doors. Nice. So, but I was going to be a music major.
Uh-huh.
And I was in every choral program
you
growing
were like
up.
In your teenage years.
In my teenage. I started singing as in elementary school, and then I was in the Texas Boys Choir.
So you were always like a musical.
I was
like,
always musically great. Like I loved music.
Mm-hmm. What did your parents think about that?
They were fine with it because it was like contained in the school system. It wasn't
They didn't think it was like what you wanted to do forever.
No. I'll tell you the first time I told my dad that I was going to become an actor, he flipped out. So I was doing music you know, throughout elementary and junior high and all that. And also was an outlet for us because they worked in the clothing business. They had clothing stores. So they would literally open at 9 a.m. and close at 9 p.m. And on Sundays is when we really had family time.
Yeah.
We were raised by nannies pretty much. And Latin nannies, so we spoke more Spanish than we did anything. You know, if we wanted to eat, we had to speak Spanish.
Right.
Thank you, DACA. so it gave them safety that know that we were at school doing things in the school system,
like hobbies.
Hobbies and stuff, and not have to worry about us. What are they going to do when we get home? Are they going to run the streets or whatever? You know?
Yeah, as long if you're singing in choir, you're not joining a gang.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I didn't go through puberty till my senior year of high school, and I got recruited to go to this counter-tenor program at Rollins College, this private college in Winter Park, Florida. And in the middle of my senior year, I went through puberty, and my voice started to change and drastically, and like my nipples were hurting. I was 5'1" the beginning of my senior year, and I was 5'9" by the end of my senior year. So I went through this really late growth. Yeah, I went
through
really fast. I mean, zits and the whole, all so fast. So my voice changed and I lost that scholarship.
That's so sad.
Yeah. So
that's so sad.
I had happened to like do some of the theater stuff, and the first show that I did in high school was called Oklahoma, as an Arab should do.
Yeah.
And I played Ali Hakim, right?
Perfect.
He was Persian.
Yeah.
And Wayne Brady played Judd.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I'll never forget. And so I remember Karen Ruggiero, like, she was doing rehearsals. I just didn't know what I was doing. You know, I just never really acted and stuff. And she was freaking out because – here's this kid, and she's like literally pushing me across the stage, and I'm like, I don't know what to do. But I had a voice, so I could sing the, you know, role or whatever. And then I'll never forget opening night. I just let it all go, and just having the audience, the feedback from the audience, and I just kept like I was like improvising and doing all kinds of shit. And at the end, she came and ran, and she hugged me, and she's like, "That was amazing." Aww. And I go, and that's when I knew. I go, okay. This is what I want to do.
I can do this.
This is what I want to do. So
that's so powerful to have like that reinforcement from someone that you respect too. Like,
oh yeah. Oh, it just it changed my life completely. So I remember that week my dad picked me up from high school, and my dad would pick me up. He literally would not obey any of the rules. So if it's a no parking zone, he parked there.
Typical father. Yeah,
and he smoked cigarettes, Marlboros.
Only Marlboros.
Yeah.
Like, no other cigarette.
It's either Marlboro or Kent for him. But it was like Marlboro. He had a black Cadillac. He would roll down the window like partially. Smoke is billowing out. He's got these like aviator glasses with like diamonds on the top.
Oh my God.
My dad's very light skinned. He's got like a pompadour hair.
Yeah.
And he's got blue eyes.
He's looking badass.
He looks like Italian mafia. Yeah. Like, right? And I would be rehearsing either like in a choir thing or theater thing or whatever. And he'd come and he'd park in the no parking zone.
Of course.
He'd roll the window halfway down. Now, I'm at a school of 4,000 kids. He would roll it halfway down. He'd point at one kid and he'd say, "Come here."
Oh, my God.
And he goes, "Go get a lot."
Oh my
and
God.
So this kid would run all through the campus looking for me, right? But most of them knew I was in the theater, so they go, they go, "Your dad is waiting outside." I go, "Okay, just tell him I'll be out like in 30 minutes.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like, no. And I'm like, "It's fine. He's not, trust me." He's like, they're like, "No." So I would run and go, "Dad, you can't do that." He's like, "What?" And I'm like, "You can't."
Yeah,
he goes, "Okay, hurry up. Yalla, let's go.
Yalla, let's go.
Because he wanted to take me to his mom. So we're in the car and I'm sitting with him and he's like, "Listen, it's time. You need to go to college. And I want you to go to business school. You're going to take the store and get married and yalla." And I said, "Well, I'm going to be an actor." Oof. He pulled the car over.
Oh, God.
He hit the back of my head and he said, "Get out." And he kicked me out of the car.
Shit. Sounds about right.
Yeah. And then he just drove off.
Oh my God.
And then like 20 minutes later, I'm like crying and stuff. I'm freaking out. And then he comes and picks me up and he's like, "You're not going, there's no acting.
Are you over it yet? Like, it's been 20 minutes.
Okay. Yeah. So I went my first semester. I went to Rollins College and just studied, you know, the GEs there, and I was miserable because everyone was wearing Birkenstocks and like Dockers, and, and I was like, did not fit in. And I was very like, I had a, you know, I had the rat tail when the rat tail was in. I like, you know, I did fucking crazy shit, and I worked, you know,
you were against the grain kind of thing,
totally. Yeah.
On that real note, real quick note, we have to take a quick break.
Oh, we take breaks here.
Yeah, we have to take two.
Wow. Sponsored.
So we'll be right back.
And we are back. So you were saying, Ala?
So rudely interrupted.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
We're the
terrible. So
you were miserable.
I was miserable. And I remember, when I was 15, my dad, there's a men's apparel show that happened in New York City called NAMSBY, and it was at the Javits Center. And
NAMSBY.
I don't know what it stands for, but it was called NAMSBY, and it was my dad would go to get merchandise for the next season. So I begged him to let me go to New York with him, and he's like, okay. So he took me on the trip. We land in New York City. It was my first time. We're in the cab. We drive up to the Marriott Marquis in Times Square. And I looked at him and I said, you just made the biggest mistake of your life. And he's like, what do you mean? And I go, I'm going to move here. I'm going to end up living here. He's like, what? You know, he doesn't, you know, I'm a 15-year-old.
Yeah.
But also the audience should understand that the kids of this generation are more educated than what they were. So we were always outsmarting our parents. I don't know if that's how it was with you guys.
A little bit. Yeah.
But my parents were like, you know, first, like off the boat, like, you know, they didn't know any better. So I was like, I'm going to end up in New York. So cut to, I could do Rollins College for the semester. My acting teacher, Karen Ruggiero, said, we're flying up to New York to audition for the American Musical and Dramatic Academy. You should come. I was like, my parents will never let me do that. So I have to lie. I totally lied.
Yeah.
I told them that we're going to the Bahamas, and they asked me to be one of the chaperones on their senior class trip, and he trusted my, you know, teachers and stuff, and I was like, so he's like, okay, fine. So I end up flying to New York without him knowing, auditioning for AMDA. And then within like 3 days, flying back. And so.
Did the audition go well?
The audition went great.
Yeah.
I mean, I just, New York was like, I just
knew it. It was like a dream.
It was like a dream. Yeah. I was so petrified. I was like, big city, blah, blah, blah. Then February 14th, that's right, Valentine's Day, I got the acceptance letter to AMDA. And I had to tell my parents.
Because you were going to go.
I was going.
There's no doubt in your mind.
So I sat them down and I said, listen, I got accepted to this school. It's in New York City and I want to go. And my mom started screaming, crying, no way. My
That's dad's how
like,
it goes.
No way. No. Because we never left the house. You just, none of my cousins. And
you don't leave until you get married.
And my mom's 10 brothers and sisters, my dad's 6 brothers. Mm-hmm. And all, just imagine the amount of cousins. I mean, one of my dad's brothers has 9 kids.
I can totally relate. My mom is 1 of 8. My dad's 1 of 9.
And going away to going to college, period, and going away was just not an option.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My parents did not let me go anywhere to college. They're like, you go to the UC that's like 10 minutes away.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You shut your mouth or we don't pay for school.
Well, it's worse for girls.
Yeah. I chose the furthest school that I got accepted. I got into a few schools, but I chose the one that was furthest from my house without them knowing. And then I was like, oh, I got into this one. And they were just like, but you got into this one that was closer. And I was like, oh, well. And then I just like left.
Yeah. So I got in and I was like, I'm going. So I sat my parents. I said, listen, here's the deal. You can either help me go or I'm going and I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
But you decide because I'm going to go. So about a week later, my dad said, okay, fine, you can go. Thinking that I wouldn't last without my parents, because that's what they're always like, there's no way he's never lived away.
Yeah. Because, I feel like we all got coddled a little bit, you know, like at a certain level. Like, because we're so sheltered, we get really dependent on them without even knowing it, you know?
Well, Well, it's true. You know, at that point in my life, too, my parents were very well off. They had a lot of money. So my mom would send me like FedEx envelopes with like $2,000 cash.
What?
Cash, you know. My friends in high school, they'd go to the mall to look for me because I worked in the store next door as the competition.
Oh, really?
Do you remember the – I don't – you guys are too young, but there's a store called the Merry-Go-Round.
I don't know.
It was a chain store, and it was like hip MTV style.
Wait, you worked for the competition of your father?
Yeah, because I knew if I worked for my father, I wouldn't get paid. And so if I wanted to buy the clothes that I like to wear, and because they would buy my school clothes, you know, they'd buy – if I wanted to buy the stuff that I wanted to wear or get my haircut the way I wanted to get my haircut, I had to make my own money. Yeah.
My dad owns retail stores as well, and my first job was working for him. But he – I feel like he wanted to pay me just so I could feel good about myself and be like – because I think he had hope that one of his daughters will take over the business, but none of us ended up doing that at all.
Right.
But,
same in our family. Yeah.
But retail is the worst, I will say that.
Yeah, I worked retail put me through college. Yeah. I worked in the store because they had a flagship store in the Empire State Building. So when I went to college I worked there. Yeah. So kids would come to my – in high school, I keep going back and forth, sorry. But kids would come back from, you know, in my high school, there's a lot here, blah, blah, blah. And my mom would be like, no, honey, he's not here. He's at home today. And then, ching, open the register and give him $20 and go, go have lunch.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Just give like $20. And so like kids started coming to the store looking for me, knowing that they were going to get money from my mother.
Wow.
But that's the kind of person she is, you know?
Yeah. That, my mom's the same way. She's so much more giving than my father.
Yeah, my father's tight.
My dad's always like, I'm broke. And you're like, wow, nice BMW.
Yeah, my dad's always like, I don't have it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
In fact,
they gave me my first credit card when I went to college. They gave me an American Express, and I was like going to like Tavern on the Green. I was like shopping at like Macy's and Saks, and you know, and like the first month it was like a $5,000.
Wow.
Like my dad flew up to New York, knocked on my dorm door. I answered, I'm like, what are you doing here? He's like, give me the card. Takes the American Express, folds it and breaks it in half and leaves.
Wow.
And just leaves.
Your dad is a boss. Can I say that?
He's, if you saw him, you would be like, I'll show you a picture after this.
I would love to see a photo.
Yeah, he's
something else.
On the flight here, because I was working in Atlanta, and so my brother, my nephew, Asad, my brother doesn't even pronounce it correctly, which annoys the fuck out of me.
Do you want to reveal who your brother is?
We haven't done that yet.
Okay.
I wanted it to be a build-up a little bit.
Okay, so my brother is DJ Khaled.
Woo!
Yeah. Another one.
DJ Khaled.
Right.
Major Key.
Major Key. There you go. Yeah. Key to success.
But he legit made his son an EP on his new album.
Yes,
that's some shit right there. That's a creative way to get your kids ahead.
I want to get into my brother in a second because I don't even know how to describe him because we're not the same person. Not the same family.
You're very human.
Compared to your blood. We can't even communicate because.
He's on some next level shit.
On another level, and we didn't grow up like that.
Yeah,
you know
what
I mean? I'm just like, what are you talking about? You are not so hood.
I did find
that's how my brother is too. My brother, I'm like, okay, first of all, we grew up in the suburbs. You need to relax.
Yeah. I'm like, we grew up in a gated community. Your first car was a brand new BMW, which you totaled. And got another brand new BMW and then totaled that one and got another one.
What a struggle.
Yeah. No pun intended. Another one. And,
But I did see an adorable photo of you and your nephew on your Instagram.
Okay. So my nephew, he's my life. And I have three other nieces and my sister's having a baby right now. Actually, any day now. So,
what's their Instagram presence is like?
What, my sister?
No, I mean, like the siblings are just like,
the babies.
So he, so my parents, Asad was being on his first fashion show for Air Jordan. And I guess they're designing a line for the baby.
Wow.
You know, listen, I can't. So they were going to surprise my future sister-in-law, Nicole Tuck, was going to surprise my brother with my parents coming in for his first fashion show.
Right.
So I said, great. I happen to be leaving Atlanta that same day, I'll just change my ticket to meet with them wherever they're connecting, because they live in Jacksonville, Florida. I'm like, wherever they're connecting, I'll just change my flight and so I can fly with them.
Yeah.
Like, great. So in Charlotte, North Carolina, and I meet them on the plane, and my dad, I'm not even kidding, we're in first class. I'm not even kidding. He takes out his vape. Like, he starts vaping on the fucking plane.
Oh, my God. Oh,
and,
my God.
And I'm like, Dad, you can't do that. He's like, what? This is not smoke. I go, Dad, you can't. It's against the law. They will take this plane down. We'll get arrested. Khaled will kill you.
Yeah.
He's like, I'll go in the bathroom. Don't worry. No! I'm like, no. You cannot. I go, give me the vape. I'm like, and I'm struggling to get the vape from his pocket. He won't give it to me. I'm like, give me the vape. He's like, no, for what? I'm not going to do it. Don't worry. I'm like, Dad, give me the fucking vape. So I take the vape. I'm like, you cannot, because I'm not flying back with them. I'm like, you can't do that on the plane. Just please.
Especially as Arabs, you know what I mean?
Like, I know. I go. Are you crazy?
Keep it together,
and my mom's like, "Yeah, Afif. Yeah, Afif. Please, don't make him crazy. Please, Afif."
Oh my God, that is like a spot on the impression of my own mother.
Yeah, I know. It's spot on right here.
And the best is my mom, because you know, Khaled works with Diddy, and she calls. You know, Khaled, when he lives in Miami and L.A., but when he's in Miami, he, you know, before he didn't fly, he would drive to New York in the bus or drive to L.A., but he would always have to stop through Jacksonville. So he literally would bring the whole tour bus, the whole tour, to my parents' house and make my mom cook, like, makluba or warek dawali or, you know, like – And my mom is like, she can barely walk, you know? I'm like, are you crazy? But Khaled, he wants his
she
food.
She probably makes great food, though.
She makes amazing food. My mom makes the best food. Yeah. My mom makes the best food.
Yeah.
So I don't even know where I'm going with this story.
But, like, I feel like it's just hilarious. Like, as Arabs on a plane, you already have people against you.
Oh,
like, you don't want to give them another reason to be suspicious of you.
I can't. That's just that feeling of so many times where I have to be like, Dad, you cannot do this here. Like, just be like, Dad. Get your shit together. Like, don't do that. It's so real of them being like, what?
In the hotel, they kept pricing things out. And I'm like, what are you? They're like, how much was the? And I'm like, you're not paying for anything. They're like, it was $50 for the. I go, you're not paying for it.
Don't worry about it.
He's like, how much are you tipping them? I go, it doesn't matter. You're not paying for it. Like, everything is tight. I'm like, stop looking at prices. Yeah. It's driving me crazy. I'm like, just relax. I made them – my brother made them retire. So that – and now he just, you know, takes care of them.
That's nice. Like, or do they enjoy not working, or did they like working?
My dad would love to keep – like, he's –
Yeah, my dad's a workaholic as
He well. Still has the merchandise thinking he's going to open another store. And I'm like, you're not open. I go, the mall business is done. It's over.
My dad is trying to accept that as well right now.
I'm like, forget it. I go, you're lucky that you have a son who has a lot of money, you know. And that's another thing that Khaled and I have a difference is because, you know, in tradition – the oldest son takes care of the parents. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't have the means to take care of them like he can.
Yeah.
So there's a big struggle there with the two of us.
I can see that for sure.
Yeah.
My older sister, I got lucky. She's a doctor. So she can do that when we're older.
Yeah, yeah.
But I can still do a podcast.
Yeah. So, So I'm like, Khaled, it doesn't really make sense. I can send them like $100 a month. I mean, I don't know what you mean. Like, what do you want? He's like, you know, in his ideal situation, he would love for me to live with them and take care of them.
Of course.
Right. And I'm like, it's not going to happen. Like, I'm not stopping.
You have your own life.
Yeah, I'm not stopping what I'm doing because you're doing great, you know.
Yeah.
So there's that. I think when I moved to college is when our disconnect started.
Because I think you have to be away from your whole family to really, like, know who you are at all. Like,
absolutely.
Even, like, grow up to be who you want to be.
Well, and Khaled lived with my parents until he was 21, 22, you know? And I left at, like, 17, 18.
Yeah.
So it was a big difference. I was very independent.
He's more
of a mama's boy. Mm-hmm.
I think it's hard for Arab and Middle Eastern parents to accept when they move to a Western country that their kids – will likely be more independent than they were, like, or not just more independent, but like
just Americanized in our way of thinking and everything.
Oh, even when I go visit my parents, like during the holidays or whatever, they're clocking what time I come in.
Oh, yeah.
Like they're like
100%. Yeah.
I mean, it's like crazy.
And you're like, and
I'm
like,
I've been living on my own for like 30 years almost, you know?
You're never going to not be their little boy, like forever, forever.
Because they'll all be like, what were you doing last night?
Yeah. Where'd you go? Who are you with? I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
You know, and then I kept a lot of the traditions. Like, you know, I go to all the family weddings if I can, and I go to, sadly, funerals. And, you know, I do all the traditional stuff. And, like, my mom would FaceTime me and teach me how to make the makluba, you know. Because there's things that I want to learn from the culture. Yeah.
I want to ask, are your parents Muslim?
Yes.
Yeah. So were you guys raised religiously at all?
No, not at all.
Yeah, so they're more like secular Muslim in a way. Or not like, I wouldn't say secular.
Just like culturally Muslim?
Yeah.
Culturally Muslim.
Did you guys fast, I mean, or pray?
Well, we weren't raised to fast. Because my mom and my dad were always on some sort of medication for something, some ailment or something. Mm-hmm. They never really fast in front of us. So we didn't really grow up. We tried it, you know, but we're...
Yeah.
It's like,
Didn't stick.
Did not stick. Yeah. No. Yeah. No.
I think it's interesting because I think a lot of my friends that knew my parents were strict, they thought it was because we were Muslim, but it's not even the Muslim aspect. Just like traditionally, like immigrant parents are going to be strict just wherever you come from, I think. Like, it's just different.
Yeah, because they're afraid of what's around them. They don't know. They know, like, if we were raised in the Blad or the old country, that they know all the people that live around them. They know the type of people. In the United States, there's so many different influences. I remember the first time I went to a club at 15. It was a club for teens called Park Avenue in Orlando. And I had to beg my dad to let me go. And I was with one of my best friends who he loved and trusted. Yeah. So he let me go. And I didn't drink. I was afraid to smoke a cigarette. Yeah. I was like a really straight laced. I was anti anyone who did drugs or drink or blah, blah, blah. Go to the dance club. And then my friend decides, oh, there's a house party that we're going to go to afterwards. And I'm like, oh my God, my dad's going to kill me. But I call my dad. I'm like, Dad, I'm riding with them and they're going to this house party. But don't worry. I'm not doing anything. I'm just keeping you posted. Mm-hmm. And I call him every 15 minutes.
That sounds so familiar. Minutes. Yep.
And he would be screaming on the phone. Where are you? Where are you? Where are you? And I'm like, I'm safe. Everything's fine. I'm not doing it. And I didn't – there was drinking and all that. Yeah. I didn't do anything. My friend drops me off. My dad's outside in his tidy whiteys.
Oh, my God.
This sounds familiar.
He's standing outside. I walk up to the door and go, I'm so sorry, you know, and then he goes, get in the house. And he sends me into the room, and Khaled and I were sharing a room at the time. We had bunk beds. Mm-hmm. And he throws me in the bedroom and he goes, get in. And he hit me right across the face.
That's how they do it.
And he said, this is the first time and the last time you go anywhere. No. And I was,
you were like,
yep,
you're right. I'm going to go back to bed now.
I was petrified. Yeah. Like, I was like, because it was my first time out ever, you know, past 10 o'clock, you know?
Yeah.
Very strict parents.
Yeah. No, that rings a bell for sure. It's interesting just how much, I mean, and you're a guy too. Like, being a girl raised by, and my parents don't have any sons, just me and my two sisters. So they were very strict on us. And we had like, Well, before I get too into anything else, we're going to take a quick break.
And we're back.
Yeah. Let's get back to you.
Okay.
So when you went to New York and you start acting and do your thing, were they like supportive, or would they ever just kind of be like, oh, like, are you going to go back to school? Yeah. Like, are you going to go to grad school? Like, did they bother you at all?
No, it's amazing when – well, first of all, I've skipped a little bit about that going to New York, because I don't know if they do this with your families, but when something – when a big decision like moving out or getting married or whatever, the whole family gets together to talk about it. Mm-hmm. When I say the whole family, I mean like all my uncles on my dad's side. So
My family doesn't do that, but I know a lot of families that do.
Right. So it's
called a term I'm forgetting right now.
Yeah, I forget what it's called. So my uncles flew into Orlando to have a talk to me, like, what's wrong? Why are you running away? You know, I'm like, I'm not running away. I'm going to college.
I'm trying to be happy in my life.
I'm not running. Like, I want to come visit. Like, I'm not like move. I'm
You'll
not
see me again.
It's not forever. Yeah. It's, you know, it's a 2-year program, and then I'll go 2 years to the new school and finish my education. So once I was in New York, and they were seeing like I was thriving, and would come and visit, and everything, they were more proud, and so they would brag. Yeah. You know, I was they would always brag, and so that was good. And my parents are a little different than the rest of my uncles and my aunts. They're not as they adapted to the culture very fast here because I think their businesses were so successful and the people that were shopping in their stores were of a clientele that were affluent and like, you know, so they had a better life, I should say.
It probably gave them confidence too, oh, we're American
Right.
I feel like I can relate to that.
Yeah,
because
they figured it out. They figured out how to live successfully in America.
Yeah.
When I was in New York, it was difficult for me because I lived in New York and went to school in New York at a time where – being Middle Eastern wasn't a selling point in the Broadway circuit. Yeah. So I would go on auditions and everything at that theater at that time was mostly all American type shows. There was
of course.
Everyone's blonde and blue eyed. You know, there was you'd never see ethnic. It's totally different now, obviously. So I couldn't get work. I mean, the most work I would get is maybe like a cruise ship, which I hated cruises. So I was like, I'm never doing that. So my friends who were shooting a show called The Mickey Mouse Club in Orlando.
Sounds familiar.
All the Mouseketeers. They were like, the show is wrapped and canceled. We're moving to Los Angeles. Do you want to come? And I was like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
So I moved out with them. It was like Carrie Russell, the originals, which you guys won't know, is Chase Hampton, Albert Fields, Dee Dee Magno, Tiffany Hale. Yeah. So anyway, we all moved out, came out, you know, I got into an acting class in LA and then I was like, got discovered by an agent and then slowly.
It just kind of snowballed eventually.
I was working for the same company, the clothing store that I'd worked with in high school. My first year at the Beverly Center.
That's some loyalty.
I knew it was like I could sell fucking retail. Like it was in my blood, you know?
Yeah.
And so when I booked my first commercial, I quit. I hadn't worked a real job since.
Wow.
And that I moved here in 94 was the second – my second night was Northridge earthquake.
What?
Yeah. That was the second night. And again, my parents.
That was like, what point was that? That was like a big one.
That was the biggest. Like 6.7.
Yeah.
6.7. It was supposed to, they initially said it was 7.1, but I think there's something to do with the government that if it's over a 7, then you have to pay state taxes that year.
That's so
they went like down a little bit. So it got to a 6.7. But, I remember that night, I hadn't even unpacked.
You probably had never been in any kind of earthquake before.
No. And on the flight to LA, I was sitting by this nice woman from Woodland Hills, and I was like, yeah, I'm just a little nervous about earthquakes. She's like, oh, don't worry, we never have one.
That's why you had such a big one.
So we had that big one.
She fucking jinxed it.
I called my parents right away. It was like 4:30-ish in the morning, and I called my parents, and I said, woke them up on the East Coast. I said, turn on the news. I'm okay.
Yeah.
Just turn on the news just in case you can't get in touch with me. Mm-hmm. Sure enough, later that afternoon, my dad's like, you're flying from San Diego. Just leave the car. Don't worry. Leave now. We're waiting. I'm like, Dad, I'm not moving. I'm not going. They're like, you're coming to – they have the airport. LA is closed. Go to San Diego. I bought you a ticket.
Yeah.
I said, Dad, I'm not going. I go, you know, I'm like, it's 2 days. Like, what am I supposed to do, right?
Yeah.
Had I been here for 2 to 3 weeks and all that was happening, or 2 to 3 weeks and then Northridge, because I just did not adapt to the city at all. It wasn't New York.
It takes a while for you to like really grow to it.
I probably would have – you probably wouldn't have met me by now.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So thank God for that earthquake.
That earthquake saved my life. And then I had a really good career. I was very different than what casting directors were seeing. Every job I booked, the director would walk up to me and goes, I had to fight for you.
Really?
Every single job.
Ethnically ambiguous.
Yeah.
I know.
Ethnically ambiguous. Yeah. And then at 28, I book the Barbra Streisand tour, which is the most ironic thing because here I am.
A Muslim Palestinian.
Doing this show with the biggest Jew. So I was booked on this show called Timeless. And when I auditioned, they had said it was a movie of the week because they were keeping it a secret. And my final call back was at her house.
What?
So I go up to Malibu and it's between me and this other guy. And he was as white as can be. And it was me.
Mm-hmm.
And I go in there. Kenny Ortega was directing it.
What?
And I go in, meet James Brolin. She's sitting on the couch with this like cow neck coral sweater and glasses, and she's leaning on the edge of the couch. And it was like slow motion. She stands up. She's tiny.
Yeah.
And I like walk across, and I'm freaking out because I'm like in Barbra Streisand's house, and she's like, "Thank you so much for coming." I was like, "Are you kidding me?" Like I just lose it. So we started doing the read. I'm reading with Kenny. And she's just listening. And then he looks at Barbra and he goes, "Why don't you read it with him?" She's like, "Well, it's not me." He goes, "But it is you," because it was a younger version of her.
Mm-hmm.
And she reads it with me and she starts improvising a little bit because she doesn't know the lines. So yeah. I start improvising and she goes, "Oh, that's good. Let's write that down." And then she's like, tells her assistant, "Get the recorder because I'm going to record this." So I'm thinking, okay, either I'm booking this job or they're stealing everything you know, the other guy. On the way back, and this is where the culture comes in. On the way back, I'm riding in the car with the casting director because we weren't allowed to drive ourselves there. So the casting director and the other person I'm auditioning with. Now, the other person that I had auditioned with went in before me. He was in there for like 15, 20 minutes and I was in there for like an hour or so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So he was like, "What the hell?" I go, "We were just, you know, working it out and doing it." And he's like, "Okay." We're sitting in the back of the car. The phone rings to the casting director and all I hear is, "Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah. All right, yeah." So about 2 minutes later, he goes to the other guy. Let's just say his name's Jason. He goes to the other guy. He goes, "Hey, Jason, where are you from? What's your ethnic background?" And he's like, "I'm white, you know." And he's like, I mean, it's obvious the guy's white.
Yeah.
And then he goes, "And Alec, how about you?" And I go, and I knew where he was going with this. And I go, "I'm Israeli." I go, "I'm as Israeli as it gets."
Wow.
And he goes, "Oh, okay. Okay, great." And I go, "Do you mind if I ask why?" He goes, "Oh, no, no. We're just wondering if you – someone said that maybe you were like Lebanese or something." And I go, "Nope. I'm Israeli." Which in that – and all – it's not a lie. I mean, no. Palestine is Israel. Yeah. So it's like –
yeah.
So the whole time – so the next morning I got a call and they go, "They loved you. Don't cut your hair. You booked it." So
that's awesome.
So I do this like 9 week rehearsal with Barbra Streisand every single day.
Wow.
It's me, this woman, Randy Heller. I don't know if you know the Karate Kid movies. She played the mom to Ralph Macchio. And then this little girl her name is Lauren Frost and Savion Glover, the tap dancer.
Okay.
So now we're about to do like a tour. Like we're doing the Millennium Show in Vegas at the MGM Grand. We're going to ring in the Millennium, right,
holy
on stage.
Shit.
And there's going to be a possible tour. Well, you know, traveling, you have to use your real ID.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm freaking out because she thinks I'm Jewish.
Yeah.
My name is Alat Mohammed Afif Yusuf Khaled, right? And it's on my ID.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this could be a problem. So I make friends with the tour manager. And then like, you know, a couple weeks into rehearsal, I feel comfortable with them. And I'm like, "Hey, just so you know, when you book the hotel and airfare, don't book it under Alec Levy. My real name is this." He goes, "Oh, okay." And I'll go, "You know, just – can we keep that between us?" He's like, "No problem. I get it."
Yeah.
Not that she would have cared.
Yeah.
You see, Barbra was hiring me based on she's a sense memory kind of person. Like this was a real person in her life.
Yeah.
It was the guy who told her that she would never make it in the business.
Yeah. Okay.
And so she hired me because I looked just like him and I had that like attitude, right?
Yeah.
But when she's taken away from that, and knows that I'm something else, then it's not the same for her. For instance, like the bow tie, we spent 2 hours picking out my bow tie because it had to look like the bow tie that that guy wore. That's how she works.
Yeah.
It was not
very meticulous. Yeah.
But being an Arab, I knew from past auditions and everything, I go, this is going to come to a cultural thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Without being a cultural thing. But I knew I had to say that.
Yeah.
Cut to our finale concert, Madison Square Gardens. I get a call from Barbara in my hotel room. Alec, are you staying a couple days in New York? I'm like, yeah. She goes, great. My best friend Donna Karen is having a Rosh Hashanah dinner on a boat, and I want to invite you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm in, you know?
Yeah, let's milk it, yeah.
So I'm at this Rosh Hashanah dinner, like, saying, this is the best kugel I've ever eaten. This is better than my mother's, you know? Like, I'm as, you know, like I said, I'm as Israeli as it gets. So, yeah, so there's that whole thing, you know.
That's a good story.
Yeah, it's not as much anymore. Yeah. In fact, I think I'm going to go back to a lot professionally.
Oh. Why? Why would you? Just curious.
A, the Khaled last name is now, it's there, right?
Yeah.
B, it doesn't matter as much anymore.
Yeah.
There's so many ethnic actors playing different roles now, and there's so many ethnic parts.
Yeah.
And I can play whatever. If it's a Latin guy, I can do it. If it's if it's a Jewish guy, if it's a Italian, Greek,
anything.
And I don't think casting directors are really, you know, it's or
I think
networks.
They're more. I would like to think they're more open-minded now, and not. Maybe not even open-minded, but I feel like they know they need diversity, and so they might just be looking for it more.
Well, and you see a lot of brown people in leading roles now, you know?
Yeah.
It's,
oh, definitely.
It's very different than when you know,
now
back
it's
in the day.
Like they have to. They don't have
it's
a
not
choice.
Only they have to. It's that they're actually, I think, seeing that audiences don't care because it's everywhere, you know? Now – some audiences, obviously, depending on who's supporting who, but, you know, which we don't want to get into. But, I think I can go back to my name and feel comfortable with it.
Yeah. I feel like for whatever reason, Indian actors had an easier time than we did. Like, Dev Patel never changed his name.
Right.
He was very accepted as a lead early on, even though the first one, I guess the first lead he did was very Indian based, like Slumdog Millionaire. But then he went on to do other things that weren't just about his ethnicity.
But he came out of a British show, Skins, all about like just young kids partying. So I think he had a good base, to be like, look, I can play like any old just teen who's just on drugs.
That's like one of my qualms though, because this new Aladdin movie is coming out, and I'm a little miffed that the actress for Jasmine is half Indian, half British. Like, and I thought it was going to be a shoe-in for an Arab actress to have a chance.
I didn't even know who they cast.
I don't know anything about her except that she's not Arab. And I thought it was going to be like, yay, now finally an Arab actress can like have a chance at like a role she probably dreamed of doing.
Right.
Instead of giving it to someone that like she probably looks the part because we all look similar, but you know what I mean. It still annoys me a little bit.
Listen. I would go up for when 24 was in its, you know, first seasons. I would go in to audition as an Arab because it was based on like there's a lot of terrorists and yada yada. And I would get the note, he's just not Arabic enough.
That's infuriating.
I just did not.
And it was for a role that's probably insulting in a way.
And I would like, I remember one time with the casting director, I'm like, because my, you know, professional name is Alec Ludd.
Yeah.
And she's like, but she goes, you're Middle Eastern? And I go, yeah. And I'd pull out my license. I go, this isn't my real name.
Yeah.
You know, and the Mohammeds like stands out right away. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, I'm Middle Eastern. And she's like, but I could never play. It's weird. I never played. One time I came close to a Middle Eastern role and it was for, what is her name that was on The Simpsons? Her sketch show came out of The Simpsons.
Tracy Ullman?
Tracy Ullman.
Yeah.
And I went and read for her, and it was like down to me, met with her. We talked about the role, and she's like, do you think Arabs would be insulted? Because it was like a sketch on Arabs, and it was like really like
much
stereotype, you know. I was like, yeah, they might, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, I didn't end up booking it, but they ended up doing it. They ended up cutting that scene completely. So I'm not.
Yeah.
I don't get all. Listen, I've played all kinds of characters, so it doesn't matter to me, you know.
But I also feel like when they do want to cast, like, a terrorist, they want to make it as unflattering as possible, and for whatever reason, that means, like, the darker, the angrier, the meaner, the better.
Yep. Yeah.
And, like, I'm sure you've met people, too, Anna. Like, I've met people that are like, but you don't look Arab, but you don't look blank. Well, like, yeah, I thought you were going to be darker skinned.
Right. People say because we, like, talk a certain way, and we don't, like, we're not strict on our, like, parents' Muslim ways that, well, we're like, someone just called us dumb blondes.
No,
we're like,
in particular, they comment on my skin tone. They're just like, oh, wait, Syrians are light skinned? And I'm like, what do you have in your head that, like,
well, my dad has, I mean, me and my sister are light, and my brother's dark. I mean, people think, when I tell people that Khaled is my brother, they're like, he's not black?
What? I'm like,
no, he's Arabic. He's Middle Eastern. Yeah. He's not black. My mother's side of the family is darker, and my dad's side of the family is lighter. My grandmother on my dad's side was a redhead with blue eyes.
I have cousins that have red hair and blue eyes, too.
I have blonde cousins.
I have blonde cousins as well. And so
my dad has blue eyes. And my it's insane. Like, and I'm actually not even dark at all, but I'm the darkest one in my family.
Oh, really?
And that's like an Arabic, like Semra, like it's almost like a little bit of an insult, kind of. Yeah. And so I was always like really, I was always shaded by a tree when I was growing up. I was like, I don't want to get tan. I don't want to get darker. I don't want to get darker.
Oh, we would always like lay out.
I love it. But back in the day, I was like, I don't want to be the dark one.
Yeah.
Khaled turns really, really dark when we're laying out or whatever. And I would burn.
That's like me. I get dark. My sister gets burned.
Yeah. That's my mom she's very pale. She looks like any white woman until she starts talking and she has an accent. Then you're like, okay, she's clearly not from here. But my dad is dark.
Yeah.
And I got the mid.
When my parents were here this past week, they were at Khaled's house, and my mom just had eye surgery, so like her cataracts done and stuff, so she's been wearing like dark sunglasses and stuff. I have to show you these pictures. You're going to die.
I can't wait.
And she fell down the stairs.
Oh, no!
Right. So, and I didn't know it, because I was working, so I couldn't come to the house, so I'm texting my future sister-in-law, and I go, how's it going? She's like, well, it was going great till your mom fell down the stairs. And I'm like, what the fuck? Yeah. And she's like, yeah, but she's okay. I'm like, okay. So they're flying out the next day, and I'm begging them to stay. I'm like, I want her to get checked out before they get on the plane.
The stairs.
I go, she fell down the stairs. No, Daddy. My dad calls me Daddy. My mom calls me Mommy.
Yeah. It's an Arab thing. Yeah.
My dad's like, no, Daddy. She's fine. Don't worry. The doctors know her in Jacksonville. I want to take her to the Jacksonville. So I'm like, I don't want her getting on a plane. So Khaled's like struggling and talking to them, and I'm talking to them. They're just very stubborn people.
Yeah.
So the next day I call and I'm like, what happened? She broke four toes. Yeah, she's been walking around on a broken, pretty much broken foot. I get this voicemail.
Oh my God.
I don't know if they can hear it when
just hold it up to the mic.
Okay.
You can put it right into your mic right there.
Okay. Let me find it, because it's hilarious. I hope he's...
Oh, my God. That's some stubborn blood.
That's just how it is. They're not worried about themselves.
Yeah,
they're never worried about themselves.
Yeah. Oh, my God, I can't wait.
Okay, so I get this...
Okay. Do speaker.
Allah judge me home. We are on our way to the house. Everything okay? I'll call you tomorrow. Okay, Daddy, bye.
Okay, Daddy, bye.
All right. So then he tells me he's going to take her to the hospital the next day. So I go, I call back and I go, so what did the doctor say? We're going to wait because it's holiday weekend.
Oh, my God.
And I didn't want her sitting. But on Tuesday, I'm going to call the ambulance. And I'm going to have them taken to the hospital. I said,
Tuesday.
Yeah. I said, you're going to call the ambulance.
Yeah.
He's like, if I don't call the ambulance, we sit in the emergency room for hours. They take her right away. Trust me. So he calls an ambulance.
Playing the system. Yeah.
Calls the ambulance. They take her. Yeah. They take her to the emergency room. They do all the extra. She's bruised head to toe.
Oh my God. And then poor woman.
He goes, she's okay. She got four broken fingers. And I go, her fingers are broken? He goes, and her foot. I go, her toes? Yeah, her fingers. And I go, so yeah, he calls her toes fingers.
Yeah.
My parents' accents, they still have yours?
My parents are pretty adapted.
Yeah. My mom called, I told you, my mom calls P. Diddy. Did I tell her?
No.
That's what I was getting to. So, you know, Khaled works for them, and so they see him, whatever.
Do they know what a big deal some of these people are? Like, Diddy?
Yeah. But I'll go backwards in a minute, but she called the whole time we were in LA. She's like, yeah, Dee Dee keeps, you know, I talked to Dee Dee. I'm like, who's Dee Dee? She's like, Puff Dee Dee.
Oh my God.
I'm like, Diddy? She's like, yeah, Dee Dee. I'm like, okay. You know, I'm like, yeah, she calls him Dee Dee.
Yeah. I'm proud of my parents are. They have a little bit of an accent, but they're, like, pretty I'll make fun of them for saying stuff wrong, but I think they're pretty good at English at this point. Like, they've tried, like, me and my sister did Hooked on Phonics growing up, and my mom would, like, chime in and, like, do Hooked on Phonics with us, and so they all wanted to learn.
Oh, my mom's Facebook page, because they're obsessed, because mm-hmm. of my brother, they're obsessed with Instagram, mm-hmm. they're obsessed with Facebook, they're just obsessed, and they live on it. Some of the shit that she writes, it's like, it's not even, you can't even, it's horrible. I mean, the text messages I get, it's like, she spells mommy, mammy. Oh. Like, it's like, you know, she has no education. I mean, God love her. She's so smart. Yeah. She ran my parents' business. Yeah. Like, she was the forefront. My dad sat in the office. My mother ran that fucking business.
Yeah.
And she will, no, in the household, she was the boss.
Yeah.
In public, she was subservient. Mm-hmm. But when they got home, she's like, if you ever, and my dad, you know, that's just how it was.
Yeah.
But it's crazy. That's
crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. My mom types inshallah in all her texts.
Yeah.
She always goes, inshallah, I'll see you soon.
Inshallah. You're like,
okay. Inshallah. Always capitalizes Allah, no matter what. That's all her texts are always like, inshallah. You're like, okay,
no, it's,
mom.
I love my parents. I love them to death, but I'm like, oh my gosh, you guys. My dad hasn't been to the Middle East since when I was 13. So that's over 30 years.
That's crazy.
Yeah, he won't go.
My parents are both my mom and dad have a really big family, and I would say out of all of them, my mom and my dad speak the best English, and they're the most adapted to the country. And not all of them are over here. I have a couple like just scattered all over the globe, but I think it's just interesting. I didn't know this honestly until we were watching the Olympics with my parents. I was in San Diego with my parents this last weekend, and my dad is so proud to be an American. Like, he was like, I want the Americans to get more medals. And I don't give a shit. Like, I'm just like, why? Like, we're for the underdog. Like, I don't care if America gets medals. And my dad's like, I'm so proud to be here. Like, when I was in Syria, I didn't feel safe.
Right.
And I came here, and if I could stop for a speeding ticket, fine. But in Syria, I would get stopped for my papers. I would get stopped for everything. And I'm finally, like, I love this country. And I feel like both my parents, and I think a lot of immigrant parents are like this, but they have so much respect for the country. And I was like, yeah, but it doesn't love you back. And they're like, my dad's like, you have to remember the country isn't the president, and the president isn't like whatever. Oh,
My mom is obsessed with CNN. Like, she won't stop watching it. Like, she sleeps to it the whole bit.
Yeah.
And she's always like, Trump, 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 Trump. I'm like, Mom, you've got to watch, like, you have to stop. It's not going to change.
Yeah.
So you can't make yourself crazy. It's like, she's going crazy. Because in reality, we've never been in a situation like this.
No.
Growing. I mean, I never in my, I never ever felt threatened.
No, a Muslim ban?
Yeah.
Like,
I'm like, what? Yeah. You know, like, you know, exactly. It's so crazy.
Yeah.
And so it's so different for them right now, especially our parents, because they're like, we sort of sailed through.
And they're in a pretty conservative state.
Florida.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is there a big community of Arabs where they're at, or not really?
No, but I think they live there on purpose because of that. They just, like, most of my family is in New Orleans. And my dad does not like drama and tension. And, you know, with the Arabs, this one said this and this one said that. And
that's how it all
And when you go to the weddings, they didn't give this much and they didn't, you know.
She didn't show up to my party.
So he stays away, you know.
My dad is the same way. When we go to Iran, my dad's a bit of an asshole to everyone because he's so Americanized now. Mm-hmm. He has his way. He likes to sit, drink his wine, play on his iPad, just look at things, look at news. And we'll go to Iran and people will be like, oh, uncle, would you ever move back? And my dad's like, hell no. Why would I move back here? First of all, you're all drama. You're all lying to each other. Everything's a problem. Everyone in Iran is trying to, like, trick themselves. No one gives you the right price for anything. Like, why would I move here? I live a great life. And everyone's like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's so nice. And he's just like, fuck you guys. I'm having a great time in America. And it's like, okay.
He'll get, like, calls or letters from family members or whatever. We want Khaled to do something for the Palestinians and Khaled should do this for the Palestinians. And my dad looks at me and goes, what did they do for Khaled? They didn't, no one believed in him. You know, no one's like, is DJ, what's a DJ? You know, that's the, you know, I was like, are you out of your mind, dude? I mean, my dad bought Khaled his first set of turntables at 15. Khaled has always been about the money. So there was not a big teen club presence in Orlando. So what he did was he convinced one of my uncles to give him $5,000 to rent out the Holiday Inn banquet hall on International Drive.
Wow.
And he did a teen night and he charged the guys $10 and the girls got him free. And he went to like Costco and bought Cokes and hired a security guard. And he walked out with like $15,000.
Holy shit.
So he knew right away. He's like, this is what I want to do. And he sort of worked his way up in the music business, DJ. It was like his first DJing gig ever.
Yeah.
And he quit school. He quit. Wow. He dropped out of high school at ninth grade.
That's wild. And your parents were okay with
that? Yeah,
no.
Okay.
But Khaled was a terror. He was not, you know, it's his way. He's very stubborn.
He's the middle child. I'm the middle child. I could see where he's coming from.
He was very stubborn, and they just didn't want him to get involved in anything illegal or blah, blah, blah. So they're like.
Because he was still living at home.
He was still living at home. So they had that, you know. But yeah, and he wasn't. Khaled was never into school. He was like. He was a ball boy for the Orlando Magic. He became friends with Shaquille O'Neal.
Wow.
He would do beats for Shaquille.
Yeah.
Then when my parents, we got home invaded and audited by the IRS and they lost everything.
Oh my God.
So they moved back to New Orleans and started over. Khaled went with them and he worked for a record store in New Orleans and then he would enter DJ competitions, which he would like win all the time. So he made enough money to get his ass to Miami. And when he got to Miami, he joined the first hip hop radio station in Miami as an on-air DJ.
Okay.
And he would spin and play records for huge artists and became friends with them, started under the Terror Squad and slowly built up. He was big on the East Coast, but no one knew who he was until that damn jet ski video, you know, where he Snapchatted.
Right.
And then all of a sudden it's like.
It's like, who's this guy?
I remember hearing about him. He had that one big song when I was in high school. And I remember being like, they're like, Khaled, like, that's a Middle Eastern name. That's wild. Like, this guy might be Middle Eastern.
The first time I heard DJ Khaled, I was like, what? Like, people accept this now? Like, I was happy, but I was, like, skeptical. I was like.
I was very, I think because I was always, like, looking for some representation that I was kind of like, whoa, that's cool. And I was like, oh, maybe he's Iranian. Like, that'd be cool. And I think I may have looked him up and found out or whatever. But I didn't know a lot about him. I just, obviously, he would say his name over the music.
Yeah, the one great thing I could say about him, he's self-made, and he never stopped being who he was, and he never will.
I love that, yeah.
I mean, I was ashamed that I had changed my name, and then here he is. He's like, I'm just keeping my name and doing it, you know, which is amazing.
It is amazing for representation, you know? Like, just like, just hear the name DJ Khaled, and you're like, that's a
Middle Eastern name. Yeah. That's cool.
And a lot of people don't understand that his first name is Khaled, and his last name is Khaled.
I found this out yesterday night. I looked him up, because I was, like, trying to do my research, and I was like, wait, Khalid Muhammad Khalid?
Yeah.
Like,
so
what a name.
It's tradition in our families to name one of the boys after the last name. So on my mom's side of the family, I have Kasim.
Oh.
And then Khaled. One time he was like 12 and he used to love to bike ride and jump ramps, and they, him and my friend, were jumping into a lake, a really shallow lake, and he shattered his leg. And the firemen came and the ambulance came, and they're like, he's screaming, crying, screaming at the top of his lungs. And the fireman, I need your name. He's like, Khaled. What's your last name? Khaled. He's like, no time for joking, son. And he's like, no, that's fine. He's like screaming. He's like, it's Khaled, Khaled. They're like, give us your name. Give us your name.
Oh, my God.
And so my friend was his friends were like, it's Khaled Khaled. That's his real name. That's his real name. And they took – he had a cast up to his
– holy shit.
Yeah.
No time for joking.
Yeah.
How dare you, yeah. sir?
It's just you don't have that in your family?
No, not really. I mean, we name after, like, grandfathers and stuff, right. and grandmothers. But I've never heard of naming, like, or after the last name. I don't have a Eunice in my family.
Oh, you know?
No, I don't.
No, I have a Kasim and a Khaled Khaled.
That's pretty classy.
Oh, that's like the comedian Ahmed Ahmed.
Ahmed Ahmed.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, they don't really do that in Iran.
I always wondered if Casey Kasem is really Kasim Kasem.
Oh, that's a good
point. Is he?
He's Middle Eastern.
He's Middle Eastern. I don't know. Yeah. I think he's Persian.
I thought he was Lebanese.
Oh, maybe it's Lebanese. No, I think it's Lebanese. Yeah, I think it's Lebanese.
Oh, I think I did. Did you tell me that? Huh. I think someone recently told me that. Wow.
I want to talk to you forever. You have so many good stories. But I think we should wrap it up, right?
Yeah.
Well, wow. I'll come back anytime.
Yeah, please do part two.
Yeah, and then you guys should just come on Worst Ever. I'm sure you have Worst Ever stories.
That would be awesome. Oh, I would love that. Yeah.
Let's arrange that.
Let's just podcast it out.
Well, tell everyone how to find you if they want to follow you.
Okay, so here's the deal.
What's
so
your
my Instagram is Alec Led.
Okay.
At A-L-C-
Two D's.
A-L-E-C-L-E-D-D. Twitter, same thing. I'm gonna change that, I think, eventually, but I haven't gotten there yet.
Okay. So follow him before he does.
Yeah.
So you guys are up to date.
And then Worst Ever Podcast on Instagram and Worst Ever PC on Twitter and Facebook, Worst Ever Podcast. And then, I think we're gonna have a live show in April at the Gary Marshall Theater, April 15th, if you guys can come out.
April 15th.
Yeah. And, that's pretty much it.
Well, thank you so much for being on our
show. This was so
fun. Thanks for having me.
You have so many stories.
Yeah.
This is the first guest of many for you. You're going to come back.
I hope so, yeah. It's never ending in my life. Trust me. Never ending.
Yeah. Well, you have the most interesting family.
Oh,
very people we've ever had on.
You'll have to come and do a podcast at one of our weddings.
Oh my God. I can't wait to stop recording so I can see photos of your parents.
You have no idea. The weddings are nuts.
Dude, yeah, Middle Eastern weddings are popping.
They're insane. Yeah.
The money is flowing.
Yeah. Even if they don't have money, yeah, they figure it out. They're like,
for the wedding, it's like,
where did
that elephant
come from?
They think.
Yeah. It's like, and I think we're, besides Italians, we're the only ones that like still do the cash gifts.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
No, my older sister, her fiance is Italian. And, or like his family is from Italy. He's kind of white. He's from Indiana, but he's Italian. But I've seen so many similarities between his big family gatherings and ours.
Your parents were okay with marrying outside the culture?
It took some time. It was not an easy road, but they're okay with him now because they met him and they see how much he loves her. And he actually converted.
Right.
For her.
Because my sister.
My dad, that was his one condition. He was like, if you're going to be with my daughter, you have to convert. And we had the imam come. Yeah, he had the imam come to our house. And now they're officially engaged in Arab cult and Muslim culture.
Wow.
My dad gave her away.
Yeah.
Like, you know, my mom is very, like, she's more liberal. And for her, it's just like, do what your dad wants. And then you can live your own life. But yeah, my dad, after her fiance, like, converted, he was like, yeah, he's good in my book.
We disown.
Yeah,
my sister was disowned for 2 years.
Wow.
Did she marry?
She married a Latin guy, which not hilarious, but amazingly, my parents love him more than they love us. You know what I mean? It's like my sister lives in Jacksonville, very close to my parents. She takes care of them physically.
Mm-hmm.
She's the godsend, of course, and she's the one that got the worst.
I've given up on marriage. I'm not going to get married.
I'm the same way.
Yeah, I'm just like, that's
not happening. Khaled's been engaged for 13 years.
Yeah, exactly. It's like,
Mike, you're just not.
I'm proud of my sister for being literally the perfect child. She's a doctor, and now she's marrying a convert, and they couldn't be happier. My mom loves him.
My parents don't have any, they don't care. They're like, just don't become a heroin addict. That's all they want.
Really?
From us. Well, I mean, now that I like live in LA, because when I first moved, my dad was like, okay, but you'll be back.
Yeah.
And I've been here for like 5 years.
They all think that, yeah.
And now he's like, hey, maybe I'll come down. We'll go to Palm Springs.
Yeah.
like, like, yeah, yeah, now I live in LA. And literally, my dad spends all day being like, I found this house in this area. Is it far from you? Do you want to buy a house? That's all my dad talks to me about is buying a house.
Can you buy me a house?
Dude, he literally like checks in on my finances. Like, are we ready to buy a house yet? Like,
oh
that's
God.
All
oh
they want
God.
Is buy land.
I wish he'd buy me a
yeah, right.
He doesn't buy. My dad's not gonna buy it for me. He wants me to buy it, and then he also has shown me which Lexus he wants ever when he gets rid of his BMW, which is like.
Both my parents have more
money than me. Like, yeah. What do you think?
I don't
this
know what
is?
It is with Lexus and Arab or and Middle Eastern parents. Both my parents have Lexus,
BMW,
yeah.
Mercedes.
My dad will only drive a Cadillac.
Khaled
for Christmas bought my dad a brand new Cadillac. Surprised him for the holidays, even though we're not Christian, but like for the holidays,
yeah, yeah.
You know. And because he had bought him a Lincoln before, and he hated it. My dad, he's like a Cadillac, only like Cadillac.
Why is it the Cadillac with him?
I don't know. He loves the Cadillac. Wow.
Maybe it's like this American thing. I don't know.
I have no idea, but he
That's
loves
cool.
that damn Cadillac. Ugh.
Yeah, my dad's really into. My dad buys cars a lot. It's
mm-hmm.
just one of his things.
Oh,
he has a BMW that he basically lets my brother drive, which drives me crazy because I'm like, wow, look at me, I'm like in LA, give me a BMW.
Right.
And then he bought a RAV4 when he went to Utah because one of his best friends owns a car dealership, and he's like, it was so beautiful, I bought the car and decided I was just going to drive back to California. And we were like, okay, so now there's a RAV4, and in the house. And then he used to have a Volvo because he was obsessed with Volvos for a while, which I haven't seen at the house, so he might have gotten rid of. But then there's also a...
He just collects these things.
My mom had a Porsche Cayenne for years and then got rid of it because she was like, it is too fancy for me. I'm a simple woman. I can't do it. So she switched out and got a CRV, which she's like, you know, I fit in with everybody. I'm a mother.
Wow.
You know?
My mother's never driven.
Wow. Really?
My dad drives her everywhere.
Wow. Well, now she has broken toes. So.
But she's never, in my whole lifetime, I've never seen her drive.
That's like ultra traditional.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. So never even bothered getting her license. Just
nope.
No.
It has no interest.
Wow.
My dad
taught my mom how to drive here.
Yeah. My mom will not. She's like, no. But I've never seen my dad in jeans.
Really?
Never.
That's so interesting.
He wears
to me.
Suits
That's
every
fascinating.
Single
Ever since
day.
My dad
and
retired.
Those diamond aviators.
He still wears his glasses.
Oh,
ever since my dad retired, he wears hoodies and is just always like, hey. And he learned about what is that jean? There's some jean brand he just discovered where he's like, I love it. They're so comfortable. He's got jeans and hoodies and he's like, look at me. And he's always on his iPad.
I've never seen my dad in shorts or jeans.
Wow. Even though he's now technically retired.
Yeah, he still wears suits,
wow.
slacks.
Like slacks.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
He keeps it real.
He is who he is. He's not changing.
He sounds like, he does sound like a little bit of a badass. I will say that.
No, he's, yeah. If you talk to him, you'd be
he
scared.
He's just terrifying.
Lazy.
No.
He's a sweetheart.
They all are.
There's a rough exterior for the Middle Eastern man, but when you get deep down to it,
they love you.
Bears.
They really love you.
Yeah.
That's why I didn't want you to leave.
Yeah.
One last hot seat question. I'm going to get political.
Go ahead.
You pro-Israel?
I'm pro – you know what? I don't have an issue with Israel. Here's my issue is I think – and I think this is going to change.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a generational thing. I think that the leaders now and that generation, our parents' generation,
mm-hmm.
is what's corrupting the whole situation. I think if they listen to – the younger people and the people that are going to come up in politics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Arabs and Jews, they get along.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They don't have an issue with each other. It's the traditions from before and the cultural difference from before that's still lingering.
Mm-hmm.
And I think once that's wiped out, if you let like guys and girls in their 20s like help like form that country, you're going to see a big difference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with that. Listen, I was always taught to hate that country. I mean, I'm not going to lie. My parents were anti –
I'm not the biggest fan of Israel. And there are reasons why I'm not the biggest fan of Israel. But I do think both sides are taught to hate. You know?
100%.
Yeah. And it's sad. And it's a little sad. But – there's something about
I think also, and I don't want to get too deep, and this is going to sound really weird, and I hope the audience doesn't take it the wrong way, but I think 9/11 was not only the worst thing that could have happened in this mm-hmm. country, but maybe educationally one of the best things mm-hmm. in the sense that when I was growing up, you never heard anything about Middle East in your no. textbooks. You never heard it. And now kids are learning about that region of the world, and they never yeah. had that. Middle Eastern culture is a very big part of – I mean, we're a huge population here mm-hmm, in the United States.
I see what you mean, but I almost am worried that that context is a negative context.
It's a negative yeah. context, but the problem is that – it's in the media now, mm-hmm. so it's good that we never had that kind of, exposure. No. So yeah. they're seeing both sides. They're seeing, especially the way the media is now, they're seeing both sides of the whole Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Also, I'm hoping that with that new generation that pops up, that they're going to resolve, mm-hmm. Whatever issues they have. Listen, when I was in the Middle East, I saw firsthand what a difference it is to be a Muslim Arab mm-hmm. in the Middle East or in Israel than it is to be a white American or a Jewish Israeli. Mm-hmm. I saw the difference. Yeah. No one would ever understand that until now because they're seeing it on the TV. Yeah. No one would ever get that we were not Arab Lives Matter, right? Mm-hmm. That's what it was. Yeah. We were secondary citizens.
Yeah.
They would turn off my grandparents' electricity for days at a time.
I mean, there are still parts of Israel that are like that.
100%. 100%. But I think it's going to come, a change is going to come once the generations
I hope
evolve.
So.
I'm hoping.
I really hope so. No, I know what you mean, though. There is a generational thing for sure. And I think the older generation has held on to a lot of grudges.
I mean, I think it's the same in this country.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Except for the young, weird alt-righters. But I think a lot of the politicians have to, like,
die out.
Move along.
Yeah.
I mean, we hired a reality – I mean, we hired. We elected a reality star to be our president. Like, it's –
this nation's absurd.
It's – we're out of our minds.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's – who's running what? I have no idea anymore.
That's
the – Omarosa is on Big Brother.
Yeah.
I'm crying.
Crying by Donald Trump.
Yeah. Poor Ross Matthews.
I remember when Arnold, when our governor was a movie star.
Yeah,
and I was like, I thought that was wild. And now look at us, look at us now.
So. The governator.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the first president I remember is Carter, and then Reagan.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what I remember.
I mean, I when you really think about it, it's kind of as American as you can get.
Yeah.
Like sadly enough, it's like, well, if that's what's going to be representing us, like I think we have to. Some internal work to do.
Is your brother looking to run in 2020?
He can. I can't because I wasn't born here. But
oh right,
yeah. He can, and that was first grade. We wrote a composition of what we wanted to be when we grew up, mm-hmm. and then my teacher told me that you could never be president. And it devastated me. No, my brother. Listen, I'm just hoping he puts his shoes on the right foot.
On another level.
Yeah, I don't want him to be president.
Okay, right. Well, this was probably one of the funner episodes I've had in a while.
Yeah.
Oh, it's sweet. Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here. And
pleasure.
Until next time.
Shereen, you gonna bite that ass?
I bite that ass.
Oh, wait. Should we? Oh, wait. Before we bite that ass, follow us at EthnicallyAmBig on Instagram.
Yeah.
At EthnicallyAmB, AMB on Twitter.
Yes.
And go to our website, ethnicallyambiguouspod.com,
mm-hmm.
and you can see everything.
And you can like
there.
Us on Facebook. Just look up Ethnically Ambiguous, and you'll see Anna and I in turtlenecks.
Yes.
And you can like that page. And keep up with us. And we'll talk to you next
time. So now are you going to bite that ass?
I bite that ass.